My dad works in B2B marketing, but I never really knew what that meant. Then one day, my dad came by my school for career day and told everyone in my class he was a big MQL man. Then he just kept saying things like, the more MQLs, the better, over and over. My friends still laugh at me to this day. I think it means marketing qualified lead. One thing's for sure, I'll be known as the MQL man's kid for the rest of my days. Why couldn't you just be a fireman or a lawyer? Why? You ruined my life, Dad.
Not everyone gets B2B, but LinkedIn has the people who do. And with ads on LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people based on job title, industry, likelihood to buy, and more. Start converting your B2B audience into high-quality leads today. We'll even give you a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/customer to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/customer. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
When you have health insurance, it's easy to forget about your out-of-pocket costs. That can be a lot of money. But are your bills accurate? Well, it's estimated that over 50% of medical bills contain errors. HealthLock can help you. HealthLock technology securely connects with your insurance and flags any overbilling, wrong codes, and fraud. You can even have HealthLock work on your behalf to get money back from select past bills. To date, HealthLock has helped its members save over $130 million. So to save, visit HealthLock.com today. That's HealthLock.com today.
There's a lot happening these days. But I have just the thing to get you up to speed on what matters, without taking too much of your time. The 7 from the Washington Post is a podcast that gives you the 7 most important and interesting stories, and we always try to save room for something fun. You get it all in about 7 minutes or less. I'm Hannah Jewell. I'll get you caught up with the 7 every weekday. So follow the 7 right now.
Are you spending more time in your basement now that it's your rec room, office, kids' playroom, or home gym? Well, you need to ventilate those spaces to remove stagnant, musty air. For over 20 years, the Easy Breathe ventilation system exchanges dirty, damp air for cleaner, drier, healthier air. Take charge of your indoor air with your own Easy Breathe ventilation system. You can get it installed, or DIY kits are available. Just call 866-822-7328 or visit takechargeofyourair.com and receive 20% off today.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Mark Moss Show, where we talk about the decentralized revolution. Of course, each and every week, looking at through the lens of politics, finance, and technology. Of course, that technology is Bitcoin, the decentralized technology that is rapidly changing the world. And I got a special show for you today. I'm excited about. I've been chomping at the bit to get going on this. I got 3 special guests in the studio with me today. I got Dr. Jeff Ross. We joke about him being the perma bear. We're going to talk about that. We got Nico, the host of Simply Bitcoin, joining us, and Louis Liu. And we are going to talk about the macro environment, what's going on with the markets in general, and of course, how that relates back to Bitcoin. For those of you tuning in, this is it's a warm-up for us. It's a scrimmage. We are all going to be on a panel next week at Pacific Bitcoin, finally bringing Bitcoin back to my home state of California where it belongs. And so check out Pacific Bitcoin. Get your ticket. You still got time. The 4 of us will be on a panel together, and so we're warming up. Anyway, guys, welcome. Thanks for joining me today.
Thanks, Mark.
Happy to be here, man.
Yeah, happy to have you on, Nico. We'll do another one with you at one point. But so the topic that we're going to talk about today, I think, is just the macroeconomic environment that we're in right now, and how Bitcoin relates into that. I think we just saw the Fed Chair Jerome Powell, the FOMC meeting met, and a little bit of a mixed message at first, and then he tried to kind of go back and firm up his position in the comments. I do want to start off by just saying the sheer insanity of a world that we're in, where we all stand around and look for the hedgehog to come out and tell us if winter's still coming. I mean, we look for a guy to tell us what the markets are going to be doing. the sheer insanity of that, and actually how important it is today. I mean, even a decade ago, nobody probably even knew who the chair of the Fed was, and today we're all sitting around waiting. But Anyway, a little bit of a mixed message. Jeff, you're the perma bear. what did you get out of that mixed message? And I reiterated really kind of at the end what he was thinking.
Yeah, it was really interesting to watch, Mark. You know, at first they came out right off the bat, raised the federal funds rate 75 bips, which was no surprise to anybody. And then there is a little bit of lingo in the FOMC statement that most people interpreted very quickly as, hey, this is bullish. And so the markets responded bullish. I was actually lurking around on different Twitter spaces and news programs, and basically uniformly people were talking bullishly, like, okay, this is good. There's basically a sign of they may pause at some point. But yeah. Man, then he came out at 2:30 Eastern time and he came out swinging. At first he waffled a little bit, but then as he got going and he got warmed up, he got the eye of the tiger. And he just started pummeling risk assets. He pummeled the hopium out of people who I thought, at least, and this is from my perspective, just so people know, I'm very biased. I am, as to Mark's point, I'm positioned very bearishly. I'm shorting lots of things in the market right now. So maybe it's just because I was looking for bearish sentiment, but I thought he was extremely bearish. I mean, one of his statements that I wrote down is, it is very premature to be thinking about or talking about pausing. And for people who are using that as their hopium, that the markets were going to turn and have a little bull run here, I think he just deflated all of that hopium with that statement.
Yeah, the one that I saw was he said, prudent risk management suggests the risks of doing too little are much higher than doing too much. If we were to over-tighten, we could use our tools later on to support the economy. So he's like, look, if we blow it up, we blow it up. Who freaking cares? We got tools that we can fix it later. So like, I'd rather risk blowing it up and try to fix it later than not blowing it up. So that to me was like, dang. what's your thoughts on that, Nico?
Yeah, man, look, the reality is, you know, the game is up. People are starting to wake up to the scam. The reality is that ever since the financial crisis, central banks have been working together with governments to prop up a zombie economy. The only ones who got wealthy were the ones closest to the money printer. Those who did real work, actual work, have gotten poorer. And what you're going to see over the next couple of years is that central bankers and politicians will use every excuse humanly possible they can come up with, but blame themselves, because they're the ones solely responsible for what is to come. If you're under the age of 35 at this point and you don't have Bitcoin — I got very fortunate to get into Bitcoin when I did — you're nothing more than a Russian serf. You don't own anything, right? Yeah. Even their own propaganda says it. They want you, to quote them, not me, to own nothing and be happy, right? Yeah. We are at that point in the movie and it's absolutely ridiculous. So anything that comes out of Powell, to me, it's just noise. What I'm focused on, Mark, nowadays is how Bitcoin is going to bring up the future that I want to live in and the future that I want my kids to live in. It's an absolute, it's a joke. I came up with the meme — this is the last thing I'm going to say. I came up with a meme yesterday of that famous picture of Mao Zedong in front of, you know, the Forbidden City in China. And I face swapped it with Powell's face. And I said, the chairman is about to make an announcement on the direction of the U.S. economy. How is this any different than communism? It's like we're at this part of the movie. And I was fortunate enough to be on with Jeff Booth yesterday, and he said it best. He's like, look, every central bank that ever existed in human history has always ended up with the socialist takeover. And I think this is not to get too political. I think this is exactly where we are.
Well, it is political. You can't separate the politics and the economics anymore. And to the point that you just made, Nico, how is this any different than communism? It's not. You guys know, shameless plug here, I recently released a book called The Uncommunist Manifesto. And when Marx wrote the original book, The Communist Manifesto, he laid out 10 points of communism. In order to achieve communism, we must have these 10 things. Point number 3, a heavy progressive tax system. Point number 5, a central bank. A central bank is communism, per Karl Marx. Not in my words. That's his words. So how is it different than communism? It's not. That's exactly what it is. You control the price of money. You control the price of everything. Lewis, let's throw it over to you. So he's extremely hawkish. It's insane that some guy has the power to control the money supply, but that's where we're at. But Bitcoin's kind of holding on like a boss. What's your thoughts?
Yeah, I think the market started to realize that, you know, some of the risk assets has been down 70%, 80% from the top. And I think and people are looking at those as you know, wanting to scoop it up as a cheap. And I think Bitcoin is kind of like a different type of risk asset entering into this new micro environment when Fed is raising interest rate and people are rushing to, you know, cash. And there's a lot of cash sitting outside in a bank right now, you know, doing the Citibank deposit to earn, you know, yields on it. Or, you know, they lend it out for fixed income type of investment. And I think that, you know, could switch anytime, you know, as long as there's still people speculating on the Federal Reserve pivot. But I don't see that happen anytime soon. But some of those risk assets that is highly, you know, get hammered down, it's going to have a chance, or it's not going to go down that much compared to some of those tech stocks that hasn't even go down a lot.
Yeah, but we saw the stock markets went down. I mean, I think kind of the point Jeff was making earlier, like they kind of rallied a little bit into the pre-meeting, and then at post-meeting, it was like, nope, they got crushed. But yet Bitcoin seems to be holding on. It seems like, you know, maybe looking at some of the on-chain metrics that maybe we're kind of have found some of the support level, and there seems to have been a lot of defending along that level. I want to keep digging into kind of what this means for the macro picture. There was a report that came out this week. I saw Bitcoin wants to break its bond with stocks and showing how the correlation has dropped to one of its lowest levels. I'd like to get Jeff's opinion on that. And then I want to talk about something I said. I made a video talking about how maybe there isn't another big market crash in front of us, even though the picture's bad. We're going to cover all that and more. You're listening to The Mark Maugh Show if you're just tuning in. We talk about the decentralized revolution, the way the world is changing. Of course, looking at it through the lens of politics, finance, and technology. I'm in the studio with three guests, Jeff Ross, Nico, and Louis Liu, talking about the macroeconomic picture. And of course, what happens with Bitcoin in that environment. We'll be back with all that and more in a minute. You don't want to miss it. Don't go away. We're going to be right back.
My dad works in B2B marketing, but I never really knew what that meant. Then one day, my dad came by my school for career day and told everyone in my class he was a big MQL man. Then he just kept saying things like, the more MQLs, the better, over and over. My friends still laugh at me to this day. I think it means marketing qualified lead. One thing's for sure, I'll be known as the MQL man's kid for the rest of my days. Why couldn't you just be a fireman or a lawyer? Why? You ruined my life, Dad.
Not everyone gets B2B, but LinkedIn has the people who do. And with ads on LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people based on job title, industry, likelihood to buy, and more. Start converting your B2B audience into high-quality leads today. We'll even give you $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/customer to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/customer. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Finding the right news podcast can feel like dating. It seems promising until you start listening.
When you hit play on Post Reports, you'll get fascinating conversations and sometimes a little fun too. I'm Martine Powers.
And I'm Elahe Azadi. Martine and I are the hosts of Post Reports. The show comes out every weekday from the Washington Post.
You can follow and listen to Post Reports wherever you get your podcasts. It'll be a match, I promise.
Now I'd like to introduce you to Meaningful Beauty, the famed skincare brand created by iconic supermodel Cindy Crawford. It's her secret to absolutely gorgeous skin. Meaningful Beauty makes powerful and effective skincare simple, and it's loved by millions of women. It's formulated for all ages and all skin tones and types, and it's designed to work as a complete skincare system, leaving your skin feeling soft, smooth, and nourished. I recommend starting with Cindy's full regimen, which contains all five of her best-selling products, including the amazing youth-activating Melon Serum. This next generation serum has the power of melon leaf stem cell technology. It's melon leaf stem cells encapsulated for freshness and released onto the skin to support a visible reduction in the appearance of wrinkles. With thousands of glowing five-star reviews, why not give it a try? Subscribe today and you can get the amazing Meaningful Beauty System for just $49.95. That includes our introductory five-piece system, free gifts, free shipping, and a 60-day money-back guarantee. All of that available at meaningfulbeauty.com.
Are you spending more time in your basement now that it's your rec room, office, kids playroom, or home gym? Well, you need to ventilate those spaces to remove stagnant, musty air. For over 20 years, the Easy Breathe ventilation system exchanges dirty, damp air for cleaner, drier, healthier air. Take charge of your indoor air with your own Easy Breathe ventilation system. You can get it installed, or DIY kits are available. Just call 866-822-7328 or visit takechargeofyourair.com and receive 20% off today.
All right, welcome back. You are listening to The Mark Moss Show. We're talking about the decentralized revolution. And right now I am joined in the studio with three guests, Dr. Jeff Ross, Nico from Simply Bitcoin, and Louis Liu. And we're talking about this macroeconomic environment. And Jeff, you know, while we can look at Bitcoin, Bitcoin's holding on extremely well. It's been stuck in this very tight range for a long period of time. As I kind of mentioned right before the break, it slid to like its lowest level of correlation. It's down to 0.26. And inside of all that bad news that happened, it seemed like Bitcoin has been holding on. Now, as good as the metrics look, you know, whether you want to look at it from a technical analysis standpoint, an on-chain metric standpoint, I also like to look at the global picture. So we're seeing a lot of adoption happening in third world countries, et cetera. In light of all of those positive things, it seems like the macro picture, the macro bear, is still in the driver's seat. How do you frame that up, and what do you think about just that picture there?
Yeah, great question, Mark. I agree with you, and I agree with your take on this. You know, as long as global liquidity is generally contracting, Bitcoin historically hasn't done very well. Like, these are the years where Bitcoin tends to not do well, and it tends, as those of us who have been in the space know, it explodes higher during the times of global liquidity expansion. So unfortunately, we're in this period of continued contraction. We're heading still down in the business cycle slope, and I think that we're going to see continued kind of just rough macroeconomic conditions for about the next 9 months or so. I think we're still going to be talking about this all throughout the first half of 2023, especially as we dip into a recession. Bitcoin has become somewhat uncorrelated in the near term. However, I think that when the floor drops out, if the floor does drop out under risk assets like NASDAQ stocks, like the S&P 500, things like that, it'll be guilty by association, and I think it pulls Bitcoin down with it. As people get called for get their margin calls, I think they're going to take some of that liquidity, unfortunately, out of Bitcoin, and that's going to pull the price lower. That's my take.
So if hypothetically, and maybe we can talk about percentages or base cases, but there's a good probability that we see another big crash coming if we see a recession, to your point. So if the markets were to crash another 50%, for example, then it could easily pull Bitcoin down another 50% potentially.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Kind of, yeah, that's about my take.
Yeah. Now, Nico, you had mentioned that you think, you know, for younger people, this is the great opportunity, and how this is, you know, kind of Jerome Powell and the Fed is kind of maybe showing their final hand, so to speak, right? One thing I was looking at this morning is, you know, the banks want to continue their scam with these central bank digital currencies. And they're trying to rush them out. China's trying to rush them out. In Nigeria, they're trying to rush them out. They have a really high penetration on cell phones. But in China, reports are that the adoption of the central bank digital currency has slowed down so much, nobody wants to use it. And in Nigeria, nobody wants to use it either. And it's like the people are saying, we already have cryptocurrency. What's the point of a central bank digital currency? We don't see how that, and this is according to quotes from people there in Nigeria, we don't see how that is going to protect us from all the problems that we have with high digit inflation, manipulation, et cetera. So do you think that this global adoption, we move when we have need, the pain is very high in those countries, they're moving at a rapid rate. Do you think this rise could be enough to offset some of this macro picture that we have?
I think definitely on an individual level, for sure. And it's really interesting because, you know, back to a couple weeks ago, about a month ago, the Biden administration released the digital asset framework, which everybody was looking forward to. And in that framework, it basically was an executive action that asked all the other branches of government to, you know, look into the future of money. Treasury released a report, literally called the future of money. And then that entire report, I kid you not, Bitcoin is not mentioned one time. What was mentioned was The future of money in their eyes is central bank digital currencies. They mentioned stable coins and they also mentioned payment platforms. Now, the reason that central bank digital currencies will never be adopted, in from my perspective, without coercion, is because they will never be able to match Bitcoin's incentives. And that's what you're seeing on a worldwide level. And what do I mean by incentives? Two things, right? Governments will always want to censor and control, and governments will also always want to debase, because via that debasement is how they pay for the bureaucracy. That's how they pay for themselves. And they'll never want to give that up. But you're seeing more of this in developing countries, because I believe it's due to something called, and Alex Gladstein wrote an amazing book. It's the names in the name of the book says it all. It's called Financial Privilege, right? And if you lived in a developed country, you have the privilege of using a currency that has an inflation rate ever so little that you don't really realize it's stealing from you, especially if you have a good job. But what's happening in Nigeria, what's happening in Venezuela, what's happening in Argentina, you're talking about double digit inflation. So when the government over there goes out and says, hey guys, look at my central bank digital currency, they're looking at their government and saying, what does that fix? What does that do? And it's funny because the United Nations released a report, and I'm paraphrasing here, but the name of the report is called We Must Stop Cryptocurrency Adoption in Developing Countries. And it advocates for central bank digital currencies. It says how this is going to lead to horrible things if national currencies are circumvented. But once again, Mark, just like the Treasury report called The Future of Money, it never mentions the reason as to why people are looking for alternatives. And the reason why, I believe, is they're actually trying to save their wealth, their time, their energy from currency debasement. And we both know, Mark, the only true cryptocurrency that is going to be able to provide that is Bitcoin.
Yeah, for sure. I think to your point, yes, horrible things will happen if cryptocurrencies are adopted. Horrible things to their monopoly on the financial system. That's a horrible thing. But here's what they want to do with central bank digital currencies. Let's hear it directly from the head of the BIS, Mr. Augustin Carson. Let's see what he has to say.
In particular, for the use of general use, we tend to establish the equivalence with cash. And there is a huge difference there. For example, in cash, we don't know, for example, who's using a $100 bill today. We don't know who is using a 1,000 peso bill today.
So that's their problem. They don't know who's using it. They don't have control. The next clip, I'm not going to play it for time, but he says, and central bank digital currencies will give us all the power and control to do that. Unlimited power and control. So I think we have this battle. I've been saying as investors, and Jeff, you could, I'm sure, say the same. But as investors, we're always looking for what I call the mismatch in perception and reality. And that's our edge. If everybody knows it, there's no edge there. And so the perception is it's like this Wall Street trading toy. And it's being traded like a Wall Street, like a tech stock. The reality is it's not. The reality is it's a lifeboat for lots of people. Potentially half the people in the world today, and they're realizing it. If you're just tuning in, you're listening to The Mark Maugh Show. We're talking about, of course, each and every week, the decentralized revolution, talking about Bitcoin and the decentralized technology. I'm in the studio with Dr. Jeff Ross, with Nico from Simply Bitcoin, and Louis Liu, talking about the macro environment and Bitcoin. I'm going to come back in a minute. We're going to talk about more what's going to happen, so don't miss it. We'll be right back.
There's a lot happening these days. But I have just the thing to get you up to speed on what matters without taking too much of your time. The 7 from the Washington Post is a podcast that gives you the 7 most important and interesting stories, and we always try to save room for something fun. You get it all in about 7 minutes or less. I'm Hannah Jewell. I'll get you caught up with the 7 every weekday. So follow the 7 right now.
Now I'd like to introduce you to Meaningful Beauty, the famed skincare brand created by iconic supermodel Cindy Crawford. It's her secret to absolutely gorgeous skin. Meaningful Beauty makes powerful and effective skincare simple, and it's loved by millions of women. It's formulated for all ages and all skin tones and types, and it's designed to work as a complete skincare system, leaving your skin feeling soft, smooth, and nourished. I recommend starting with Cindy's full regimen, which contains all five of her best-selling products, including the amazing Youth Activating Melon Serum. This next generation serum has the power of melon leaf stem cell technology. It's melon leaf stem cells encapsulated for freshness and released onto the skin to support a visible reduction in the appearance of wrinkles. With thousands of glowing five-star reviews, why not give it a try? Subscribe today and you can get the amazing Meaningful Beauty System for just $49.95. That includes our introductory five-piece system, free gifts, free shipping, and a 60-day money-back guarantee. All that available at MeaningfulBeauty.com.
Are you spending more time in your basement now that it's your rec room, office, kids' playroom, or home gym? Well, you need to ventilate those spaces to remove stagnant, musty air. For over 20 years, the Easy Breathe ventilation system exchanges dirty, damp air for cleaner, drier, healthier air. Take charge of your indoor air with your own Easy Breathe ventilation system. You can get it installed, or DIY kits are available. Just call 866-822-7328 or visit takechargeofyourair.com and receive 20% off today.
AI might be the most important new computer technology ever. It's storming every industry, and literally billions of dollars are being invested. So buckle up. The problem is that AI needs a lot of speed and processing power. So how do you compete without costs spiraling out of control? It's time to upgrade to the next generation of the cloud. Oracle Cloud Infrastructure, or OCI. OCI is a single platform for your infrastructure, database, application development, and AI needs. OCI has 4 to 8 times the bandwidth of other clouds, offers one consistent price instead of variable regional pricing, and of course, nobody does data better than Oracle. So now you can train your AI models at twice the speed and less than half the cost of other clouds. If you want to do more and spend less like Uber, 8x8, and Databricks Mosaic, take a free test drive of OCI at oracle.com/strategic. That's oracle.com/strategic. oracle.com/strategic.
All right, welcome back. You are listening to The Mark Moss Show. We're talking about the decentralized revolution, of course, being led by Bitcoin, the decentralized technology. I'm in the studio with Jeff Ross, Nico from Simply Bitcoin, and Louis Liu. We're having a warm-up for our panel we're having next week at the Pacific Bitcoin Conference in Los Angeles, bringing Bitcoin back to my home state here, Southern California. I'm excited. Check it out. If you don't already have a ticket, you should. So let's talk about this from another level, because I think the one thing that I always want to try to bring attention back to is time frames. So Dr. Bear, Dr. Jeff Ross, we joke with the bears, right? But it's always like time frames. And so Nico talked about being younger and how if you're in your 30s, this amazing opportunity. And I'm guessing from that, and we'll go back to him, but he's younger, so he has this long time frame. Dr. Jeff Ross is extremely bearish, maybe in the short time frame. So maybe in the next 6 months, 9 months, 12 months, I would imagine over the next 5-10 years, he's also bullish or positive about it. So we kind of have these time frames there, right? At some point, the emerging markets will flip the Western markets, maybe, right? But over what time frame? So let's talk about that a little bit. Actually, before we talk about that, I made a comment before we started recording I want to dig into. And I made a comment that when I make my videos on YouTube, everybody wants the bad news and nobody wants the good news. And I had made a video talking about maybe there is no market crash. So Dr. Jeff, you had mentioned that maybe if there's this 50% crash or whatever this percent crash is going to be in front of us. And of course, there's plenty of data to tell us that this is the case. We can look at fractals that show the markets just like the 1929 crash or 2008 crash. And it's supposed to, you know, had this perfect retracement and it's going to crash again. We can look at the horrible data, no shortage of horrible data. But I made this video and I said, are you 100% certain that the market's going to crash? Nobody can be 100% certain. So maybe you're 90% certain. So what about that 10%? Should we look at that? Is it 20%? And so what we should try to do, instead of always trying to confirm our own biases, we should really be looking for data that tries to go against our bias to see where we have holes and things like that. And so I kind of made this video and said, maybe there's a 30 or 40% chance it doesn't. And so let's take a look at that. And I'd like to get your guys' take on this. So basically my case, and I'm not going to break it down long for sake of time, but I would say that what I'm thinking is that the data is horrible and it should crash, and it certainly should. But we know that the markets and the economy are not the same. We saw 2020, the entire world economy got shut down, businesses were shut down, but yet markets rallied to new all-time highs. So there's a complete disconnect there. And my thinking, Jeff, is that the Fed is moving so fast, not just the Fed, but the central banks around the world are moving so fast, and things are getting so bad so quickly that things are going to break, and we know they're going to pivot at some point. Some point being the key word. That some point, most likely when the liquidity is sucked out of the system, right? At some point, they're going to be forced to act. Now, when I don't think they're looking at the markets, I don't think they care about the NASDAQ or the S&P 500, but when the banking system freezes, they're going to be forced to act. And the thought process is the markets are sort of calling their bluff. Everybody knows they're going to have to pivot at some point. So who can hold out longer? And the thought process is maybe things break and the Fed is forced to pivot off of that before the markets get that 50% drawdown. What's your thought on that, and like maybe probabilities of that?
So that's a definite possibility. And you're right. Like, as investors, we have to think in terms of probabilities, right? Not absolutes. So that's why I use things like trailing stop losses in case I'm wrong. I have my macro views, but I can certainly be wrong. I've been wrong lots of times, and I'll be wrong lots of times in the future. So where could we be wrong now, right? So yes, if the system breaks, if we see basically the banking system freeze up, if we see some instability or signs of trouble in the treasury market, that would cause them to swoop in and act, and they would definitely start buying bonds. The thing that I think is a little bit different this time around, though, is that I think they're still going to keep rates at this higher level for longer, even if they do come out and buy bonds. And even if the Treasury comes out, you know, Janet Yellen sort of alluded to the fact that they may do some clever buying, maybe like an operation twist from the Treasury itself, where they issue some short-term bonds and buy longer-dated bonds. They may do that. That would be kind of a QE-type move. Certainly, that could happen. Certainly, if the system breaks and the bond market starts to seize up a bit, that would force them to act. So I totally can see that. And I think if that does happen, by the way, it would be concurrent with equities dropping precipitously. So similar to kind of a March 2020 type event, I think that if we see serious trouble in the bond markets, I think equities are absolutely going to crash. And it could sort of pull forward all of this bearishness all into one week or 1 month or something like that at the point. And then at that point, I could see the Fed pivot and we'd be on our way to the next bull market.
What would you say the probability of the Fed breaking and being forced to pivot there before the stocks drop by 50% or whatever? Is that a 20% chance, a 30, a 50, a 10?
Even lower than 20, I think kind of a 10% chance. Okay. That's very pretty unlikely for me to happen. I think that equities are so sensitive to that I think they would be dropping pretty precipitously, but obviously could be wrong.
Yeah. I would say I'm more in the 30 to 40% camp. I've had this exact conversation at length with Nick Bhatia from the Bitcoin Layer, and he says about 50%. So just for everybody listening, but none of us have a crystal ball.
Right.
Lewis, what do you think about that?
Yeah, I'm pretty much agree with Dr. Ross here. I think Fed has been very clear on the interest rate and on the monetary policy. And I think the next you're going to see is the Fed is going to cut the balance sheet to the point that market start to panic. And we haven't even reached there yet, right? We're just raising interest rate, quarter by quarter. And now we are seeing, there's a possibility the Fed is going to cut the balance sheet maybe next year, Q1 or Q2. And that's going to cause a lot of liquidity problem in the markets, especially, bond and equity. Definitely not seeing an end to this. And I'm not going to sound so bearish because I'm investing in Bitcoin. But Bitcoin is going to correlate it with the equity market. And there's no escape for this because it's still a risk asset for some institution to own. But the longer term, after the maybe we are just speculating on the big crash before the Fed pivot, Bitcoin should be have a larger run-up after that. But for that to happen, we need to have a serious economic contraction, a recession, how the Fed is going to monitor the recession is going to be the very tricky thing. Because
why do we need that? You said we need it. Why? Why do we need
it? It's not we need the recession. It's the Fed is intentionally pulling the economy into recession to stop the inflation rising and stop the speculation bubble going on in the markets.
Sure, but just like they did in March of 2020, they literally shut the entire economy down, but we still saw markets rally.
Yeah. But we probably need some sort of a crash before the Fed started to take the current monetary policy seriously. And before that, I think people were just parking the cash, parking the fixed income type of investment. Maybe they want to buy some insurance, such as Bitcoin, to prevent, you know, what I see is the total collapse of the monetary policy of the Fed, and they will be losing a lot of trust. And they have to bring a lot of money to save what they have done.
Yeah, definitely. And you know what I see, the faster things fall apart, the more they react and overreact. And it's almost like they're just doing our marketing for us, just building the reasons why we need this. As I said kind of earlier, that we only, as humans, unfortunately, we only typically act when the pain is high enough, right? The drug addict doesn't go to rehab until they hit rock bottom or whatever. I don't go see the chiropractor until I throw my back out or whatever. But in emerging markets, they know why they need it, which is why they're first to adopt it. In the United States, you're going out to a bar in Manhattan ordering a $15 cocktail, and you're like, oh, why do we need new money? And you just don't get it, but they're certainly showing us. If you're just tuning in, you're listening to The Mark Moss Show. Of course, we talk about the decentralized revolution. I am in the studio with Dr. Jeff Ross, Nico from Simply Bitcoin, and Louis Liu. We are talking about Bitcoin and the macro picture. We got a lot more to cover when we come back in a minute. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
There's a lot happening these days, but I have just the thing to get you up to speed on what matters without taking too much of your time. The 7 from the Washington Post is a podcast that gives you the 7 most important and interesting stories, and we always try to save room for something fun. You get it all in about 7 minutes or less. I'm Hannah Jewell. I'll get you caught up with the 7 every weekday. So follow the 7 right now.
Now I'd like to introduce you to Meaningful Beauty, the famed skincare brand created by iconic supermodel Cindy Crawford. It's her secret to absolutely gorgeous skin. Meaningful Beauty makes powerful and effective skincare simple, and it's loved by millions of women. It's formulated for all ages and all skin tones and types, and it's designed to work as a complete skincare system, leaving your skin feeling soft, smooth, and nourished. I recommend starting with Cindy's full regimen, which contains all 5 of her best-selling products, including the amazing Youth Activating Melon Serum. This next generation serum has the power of melon leaf stem cell technology. It's melon leaf stem cells encapsulated for freshness and released onto the skin to support a visible reduction in the appearance of wrinkles. With thousands of glowing 5-star reviews, why not give it a try? Subscribe today and you can get the amazing Meaningful Beauty System for just $49.95. That includes our introductory 5-piece system, free gifts, free shipping, and a 60-day money-back guarantee. All that available at meaningfulbeauty.com.
Are you spending more time in your basement now that it's your rec room, office, kids' playroom, or home gym? Well, you need to ventilate those spaces to remove stagnant, musty air. For over 20 years, the Easy Breathe ventilation system exchanges dirty, damp air for cleaner, drier, healthier air. Take charge of your indoor air with your own Easy Breathe ventilation system. You can get it installed, or DIY kits are available. Just call 866-822-7328 or visit takechargeofyourair.com and receive 20% off today.
Are you tired of your scented cleaning products smelling and cleaning like meh? Then it's time for an upgrade with the power of Clorox Scentiva. With an uplifting scent that smells like coconut, Clorox Scentiva gives you powerful clean like Clorox, but a feeling like being transported to a tropical island retreat. Imagine putting your phone on Do Not Disturb, tuning out all the constant, just the feeling of warm sand in between your toes and a fruity drink in your hand. the ones with the little umbrella. Refresh your home to feel like an all-inclusive vacation by getting Clorox Scentiva. Also available in grapefruit and lavender scents at a nearby retail store.
All right, welcome back. You are listening to The Mark Moss Show. We're talking about the decentralized revolution. We are in the studio today with, I got three special guests, Louis Liu, Nico from Simply Bitcoin, and Dr. Jeff Ross. We're warming up for the Pacific Bitcoin Conference coming up next week. If you don't already have a ticket, check it out. Just go onto your favorite search engine and search for Pacific Bitcoin and check it out. We'll all be there hanging out. Come see us. Now, talking back about this kind of macro picture here, and where Bitcoin fits in, you know, Nico, when you look at like how the governments have responded to printing too much currency, debasing currency, 1933, they seized gold, and then they gave you money for it, but then they quickly devalued gold from 20 to 35 bucks, so then you lost even more money. But if all my gold was in the bank, I got screwed. But if I had a working ranch with 100,000 head of cattle, didn't really bother me, right? I was out of their game. So if as long as we're in their house at their party, then their rules can affect us. If we're outside of their house at our own party, maybe they don't in that example of the gold. I know you're younger, you have this longer viewpoint, this lens, but is that maybe a way you're looking at it? Or if so, reframe that for me.
Absolutely. Look, the reality is that we are living just like human history. We went through the separation of church and state. Hopefully this is a lot less bloody, right? We're living through the separation of money and state. And the state gets a tremendous amount of power from having the monopoly on the issuance of money, which everyone else has to work for, right? It's crazy how that works, right? Now, Bitcoin in this equation is, for the first time in human history, no matter what country you are in, you could memorize a 12-word seed phrase and you could store millions, billions, or trillions of dollars, theoretically, in your mind. And now all of a sudden, you have the power to not only vote with your wallet, but you have the power to vote with your feet, right? And that completely changes the power or the relationships between individuals and what I call the mob, the collective, the government, the state, right? And that's the future we're heading into. But the state isn't just going to go gently into that good night. So what you're seeing, right, is you're seeing the social attacks, whether that's the attacks on proof of work mining. Without proof of work, you know, you can corrupt Bitcoin. Bitcoin is what keeps Bitcoin, proof of work is what keeps Bitcoin uncorruptible, right? So, you know, in Europe, they're already touting it out. We should ban Bitcoin mining. And you know, the Chinese Communist Party did it in mainland China. In New York State, they banned it, you know, for environmental reasons, right? That's BS, right? It's all about power at the end of the day. And the second attack, which I believe is going to be a lot more nefarious and definitely more successful if, you know, the educators don't do the job, is the right to self-custody. And that ties in with what you were saying about the gold, Mark, right? If individuals, because this is what the Bitcoin revolution is about, if enough individuals take their Bitcoin into self-custody, there's absolutely nothing the state could do about it. Because the difference between what happened with the 6102 order in the 1930s with FDR is that because gold is so heavy, it is really hard to custody, right? Unless you're going to build a giant safe under your house or, you know, keep it under your bed. So what most people did is they outsourced that responsibility to banks, and it became very easy for the government to co-opt a handful of banks, right? And if people don't take self-custody, the same thing is going to play out. It's going to be very easy for governments to just co-opt a couple of exchanges, 6103, maybe it's not two, maybe it's a 6103, and they'll just rug pull everybody. They'll hand them, you know, the new version of, you know, the new version of whatever fiat they come up with. And the only people that were actually going to be able to hold on to their wealth completely are the individuals that learned how to take self-custody. So I hope that answers your question, Mark.
Yeah, definitely. You know, back to kind of this debasement. So as the Fed creates more money into existence through all the policies and tools that they have, it devalues the existing ones, right? There's more of them, they're worth less. And that's why inflation, prices going up, is because of that addition of the money supply. Whereas Bitcoin, one Bitcoin is always worth one Bitcoin. You can't artificially increase more. Now, when you look at it in a U.S. dollar term, because the U.S. dollar number is manipulated, it can look like that one Bitcoin gets you less dollars. But I think we could see, you know, back to kind of our example of Nigeria, for example, where the government really starts to impose the central bank digital currency. And what happens in black markets is you see prices all over the board. So maybe, you know, this bag of rice that you want priced in their central bank digital currency is one price, but in Bitcoin, it's a whole different price point. And so you could see Bitcoin really kind of starting to build out this parallel ecosystem, this parallel economy. And you could see then that price of what Bitcoin gets wouldn't be manipulated because it would be on its own economy. And that's one way I see it really starting to break out as this plays out. I want to jump back over to Dr. Jeff Ross here. So let's run through just kind of like maybe what your base case is. We're all very clear here. There's no such thing as certainties. Everything is possible, but then we have probabilities. So like base case. So do you think if I read it right from you, maybe Jeff, it's like you know, probably you already kind of said the economy crashes into 2023. At some point, the liquidity dries up. At some point, when the bank sees up, the Fed's forced to pivot. Just like they've overreacted every time, they'll probably overreact again. Probably assets go sky high. Is that something that plays out in the next 3 months, 12 months, 3 years? Just a base case, obviously. I don't know if you want to answer that.
Sure. Obviously, I'm just guessing.
We're all guessing.
So take it all with a grain of salt. But the way I look at it, I think this economic cycle is. It looks like it's going to bottom in probably the summer of 2023, somewhere around that. You know, and markets are forward looking, and Bitcoin being the freest of markets, the truly only capitalist market, it's going to see this coming out first. It's going to sniff the light at the end of the tunnel, just like it sniffed trouble under the hood way back in November of 2021. The way I see it is I think we're going to be in the throes of a recession throughout the first half of 2021. It's going to get even uglier into the summer, but risk assets should bottom somewhere around there. They usually bottom kind of in the first half or first third of a recession, and then they actually start to come up even as the economy continues to kind of struggle and grind lower. So I actually think by the end of 2023, we're going to be on an upslope finally with Bitcoin. And then I think that's going to set up for 2024, 2025 to be, again, this massive infusion of liquidity. QE infinity is going to be in full effect. Risk assets will do well. And I think Bitcoin is going to be the primary beneficiary of that. Very excited for 2024, 2025.
Yeah. I'm just going to add on to the back of that just as our own disclaimer is that we're all in uncharted territory. Things are happening so fast. We're at started out the show, the insanity of somebody telling us what's happening. And so none of us know. And so really we're taking this play by play. And so even though we can think, okay, this is probably what happens, they could come out tomorrow and just change the whole thing. And so really you have to kind of be paying attention to that. So I'll just kind of throw that out. Lewis, we got just another minute left. What's your thoughts on how this plays out over the next, you know, year, two, 3 years?
Yeah, I think Bitcoin's still the most desirable asset, you know, during those recession time and the market crash. And after that, you know, the liquidity that will pull in from the Fed. I think there's many reasons that, you know, people should own Bitcoin, not just because the microeconomy is bad, or microeconomy is good. I think like this, like Bitcoin is just an insurance, against this, you know, the Federal Reserve, the central banking that has already out of control. And, you need that kind of insurance to hedge against, you know, what if, you know, the monetary policy that we used to know collapse in the next couple of years, right? And I think we should buy Bitcoin to hedge against that.
That's right. Buy Bitcoin. You're listening to The Mark Moss Show. We're talking about the decentralized revolution each and every week. I've been in the studio with Dr. Jeff Ross. You can find him on Twitter at Dr. Jeff Ross. We got Nico at BitVolt7, and Lewis at Lewis H. Liu. So check him out on Twitter. Give him a follow. Like I said, this is a warm-up to Pacific Bitcoin that's coming up next week in Los Angeles. If you don't have a ticket, you should get one. Hopefully this made some sense. Hopefully it gives you some clarity. And that's what I got. Thanks for listening.
Are you spending more time in your basement now that it's your rec room, office, kids' playroom, or home gym? Well, you need to ventilate those spaces to remove stagnant, musty air. For over 20 years, the Easy Breathe ventilation system exchanges dirty, damp air for cleaner, drier, healthier air. Take charge of your indoor air with your own Easy Breathe ventilation system. You can get it installed, or DIY kits are available. Just call 866-822-7328 or visit takechargeofyourair.com and receive 20% off today.
Refinancing your car at Kemba Financial Credit Union can get you quick access to cash to help manage high-rate debts and expenses. Get up to $500 next day cash back, plus no payments for 90 days, and take cash equity out. Make your car work for you and drive away with extra cash. Apply at Kemba.org. Restrictions apply. Offer ends April 30th, 2024. Federally insured by NCUA.
Xumo Play is your destination for endless entertainment. With a diverse lineup of 350-plus live channels, movies, and full TV series, you'll easily find something to watch right away. And the best part? It's all free. Love music? Get lost in the 90s with iHeart 90s, dance away with hip-hop beats, and more on the iHeart Radio music channels. No logins, no signups, no accounts, no hassle. So what are you waiting for? Start streaming at play.xumo.com or download from the app and Google Play stores today. All you can stream with Xumo Play.
We went from normal life, healthy child to acute lymphoblastic leukemia, or B-cell ALL. The St. Jude team came up to get CJ via ambulance. Shortly after that, I noticed a rainbow. It meant that there was hope. We were driving into hope. To have hope is to have your child healthy, and we have that because of St. Jude.
You can help kids fight childhood cancer. Please become a St. Jude Partner in Hope today by visiting musicgives.org.